It's a very, very high honor to be with you tonight. Can you hear me okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Trusting, 1, 2, 3. I have with me tonight my orchestra. One of my orchestra conductors is named Korg, Professor Korg, and I also have, he's my my Japanese conductor. His name is Yamaha, Professor Yamaha. So I like electronics mainly because electronics have the ability to capture many different palettes of sound. In the beginning, when I began to travel and do music, I would just use acoustic pianos. But then when you go from church to church, you find out that a lot of times the pianos aren't in very good tune. The pastor's been saying, we've been needing to get that piano tuned for, it's been about 4 or 5 years now. And so a lot of times the pianos are not in tune, and so therefore, it creates a problem for a singer to sing to an out-of-tune piano. It tends to make you sound out of tune when you sing to an out-of-tune piano. So I began to travel with electronics. And just to show you some of the examples of how I use the keyboards, it might be interesting to you, rather than just kind of playing all this pretty stuff online, I thought I'd give you a glimpse into the orchestral palettes that I'm able to play through these keyboards. Now we have the bottom keyboard here, is my Yamaha. My Yamaha is a unique instrument because it produces the sound of an acoustic grand piano. Let me get it on piano first. So, it may not sound exactly like a Steinway, but it's the next best thing. And it's easier to move around than a Steinway or a Bösendorfer or something really beautiful like that. But there's nothing like playing a real 9-foot concert grand. There's just nothing in the world like it. But for now, Yamaha will have to do. But this, it does a pretty good job of sounding like a piano, That's the piano sound. This piano also has the ability to do vocals, like choral, like angelic choir sounds, which I often like to use because when you are, at a place where you are experiencing worship, I think vocals, choir sounds, and violins are some of the most effective instruments to communicate the ambiance or the feel of those kinds of things. And since I don't have a choir, then I like to use the Yamaha choir. Get a little fun. Now you singers, get in tune here now. We have the guitar sounds. It has a guitar, nice guitar. It takes a little minute to get our sound adjusted, so just bear with us. So you can do guitars, you can do vocals, you can do string sounds, which I like strings because strings have, I think it's one of heaven's most favorite instruments. And this happens to have a type of string inside of it in my Korg orchestra here. Okay, so I'll give you an example of how it sounds. Thank you. can see that when you start adding the string sound with the piano sound, if I'm playing my piano sound down here, and I add in the little strings, listen to how nice this sounds. It's called layering the sounds, and it's gorgeous. Change to guitar and strings, which is a nice effect. That's not strings. Here are strings right here. Big and fat that sounds. I love the sounds. And as a musician, that really inspires me. Oftentimes a sound can inspire a song because this is so beautiful. And so I want to let you in. And a couple of other kinds of things that we have here tonight is we have what we call split sounds, where on one keyboard, one sound will play, and on the top of the keyboard, another sound plays. And this happens to be like what they call a musical pad, which is kind of a nice, smooth, warm sound on the bottom, and the top note is like a saxophone. This is pretty cool. It's also what we call a split sound. One side has one sound of the keyboard, and the other side has another sound. And this is really cool, and I like this one. Cool, huh? It's got like a little shaker in it, like a little a drum. I like that. I'm just gonna keep doing that. And then they have real ethereal sounds like Starlog. You know, like Star Trek? Yeah. Don't want to go there. Okay. Anyway, so today we're using some electronics that I travel with, and I use them as tools of interpretation. So when I do music, I try to find a sound or a series of sounds that can best interpret the songs that I'm singing. That's why I have electronics here. And in the church, may I say, we need to open up a little bit and start letting some electronics in. Mm-hmm. The reason is the organ and the piano ain't working no more. Mm-hmm. We got to have some more. The reason is all the music around us uses more than piano and organ. We might as well start using them too, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's open up a little bit and let's let God bring the electronics that He created and let's use them and redeem them, right? Okay. All right, so I would like to do a little presentation for you tonight that, of course, has all original music. You're not going to know any of my music at all. But that's a treat because you get to step inside into the insane brain of a songwriter. a person that sees in phrases and words and thoughts, and then takes those words and the thoughts and phrases and makes them into melodies and songs. That's what a minstrel or a psalmist or a songwriter does. And a lot of times, I'll see a billboard or I'll hear a message, a few words, and I'll get a whole song. Wow. And those of you who get poems are like the same way. You'll get impression for a certain word, and all of a sudden you'll have a verse, and then two verses, and then all of a sudden you have a complete poetic work. But the neat thing about songwriting is that you get to fashion and craft it with the help of God. And what I learned a long time ago when I was first beginning to write songs is that God has a divine destination for every song that he gives me. It's not just a song that would say, just go on the radio and be played and people would enjoy it and then next week there'd be a new song on the radio. No, the songs that God give have a divine destination. They have divine saddlebags that carry contents that are able to touch the human heart. And I decided when I began to write songs, because I had been asking for a long time in prayers, I would be asking, Lord, give me the ability to write my own songs. And surely he did. And because he gave me the ability, I've learned that I am to treat that as a very special honor. Because what I say through my music affects the human heart, for good or for evil. And so tonight I would like to take you on a musical journey with me. And I would like to play you many of the songs that I've written. But I have a theme tonight, and that is restoration. That's my theme. I am a living testimony of the restoration power of God Almighty. Even my music testifies about my restoration. And I'm going to take you on this little journey. First of all, I'm going to play you one of the very first songs that I ever wrote. I'm so proud of this song. In fact, this song has so much deep theological value that I don't think I've written a song since then that's quite like this one. In fact, I wrote this song riding down the highway in my old green Ford Torino. Come on, guys. You know what a Ford Torino is. You come on. Ford Torinos, they were okay, man. They had some power under the hood. Uh-huh. Anyway, I was traveling down the road. I was a new Christian, and I was getting this song, and I was writing it on like a napkin or something in my front seat. And you know, I think sometimes we get a little religious in church, but really, this is how God gave me the song. And I don't know what else to do except just play it for you. All right, are you ready for this? Okay, you said it. Let me see a show of hands. Are you ready for this song? Okay, you gave me permission. Okay, here it goes. Well, the song may have a funny name. I'm inclined to think the same. But whoever thought the talk with the Lord at 60 miles an hour in my old green Ford. Well, I've had a little taste of Jesus' fun at 60 miles an hour out 301. Well, you never can tell just when you meet. Could be in a bathroom or on the street. Well, I had a little taste of Jesus' fun at 60 miles an hour out 301. Be sure you want more away from this. Okay, now, you gotta understand, I only got that one verse that one day. It took me like several weeks to get the next verse. But finally, it was on another drive in my Ford Torino where I got the next verse. And I am so proud. Here it comes. Well, I was cruising down the road with my seat pushed back. I put a Jesus tape into my old A-track. Oh, wait a minute. Did I say A-track? Oh, wow. Oh, that really dated me. That's those things that only played one time, right? And they broke. That's right. A-track. Okay, I thought, yeah, that's the word I use, A-track. Right. I was cruising down the road with my seat was black. I put a Jesus tape into my old A-track. Well, the music from the tape began to fill the air. I soon felt a presence that was very rare. Well, I've had a little taste of Jesus' fun 301. Now you gotta understand, back then I was trying to be cool. So I was trying to do some scat singing. So I'm gonna try a little scat singing. For you. Alright, because I envisioned this cool, you know, LA horn section, you know, in the middle of my song. So here we go. We come to the part where we gotta give it to the band, alright? Never can tell just when you'll meet. Could be in a pain of warmness. Could have had a little taste of Jesus from 60 miles an hour at 301. Okay, take it away, horn. The words are redeemed, aren't they?
Amen.
You never can tell when you might meet. In a bathroom or on the street. Anyway, that was one of my first... That opened up my songwriting womb. Yes. And after that, all the songs became more deeply and deeply spiritual. And so there came another time when I was writing a song with a friend of mine. And we came up with this... anybody have a pair of sunglasses with you tonight? You can... If you have a pair of sunglasses, bring them right up here. Just run them right up here. It doesn't matter, male or female. In this song, it didn't matter. The wilder, the better.
There they are.
There you go.
All right.
Ooh, the wrap-around kind. The full eyeball sunglasses. So we were writing this song, and we were thinking about how Christians sometimes wear their Christian sunglasses. You know, so you got to think about what sunglasses do. They block out the light. You ever come to church and the preacher's preaching, but the light's a little bit too bright? So you pull out your Christian sunglasses. You put them on. Pastor, not this Sunday. It's a little too bright. All right. And then sometimes his truth, his revelation is so great, it's going into you, and you're like, you know, you want to protect yourself. So sunglasses protect your eye from the light, you don't they? Yeah. And also, sometimes we come to church trying to look cool, when inside we're all torn apart. So, you know, sometimes we like the sunglasses because they're good for our image. We like to maintain our church image, so nobody really knows what's inside. So if we wear our glasses, nobody can really see. See what I mean? So may I offer this song to you called Christian Sunglasses as a teaching demonstration today of how not to come to church. All right, ready? I've got my Christian sunglasses on. I've got my Christian sunglasses on. The frames are tradition, the lens is religion. Got my Christian sunglasses on. I just see what I want to see. Too much light is too hard on me. But with these glasses, the light is just right. They suit my conscience, so I'm not so uptight. Got my Christian sunglasses on. I've got my Christian sunglasses on. The frame
Mine's our tradition, the left is religion. Got my Christian sunglasses on. I feel so warm and safe down in this pew, knowing Jesus bless me so. Please don't tell me there's a dying world. Lord, you want me to go? Oh no. I got my Christian sunglasses on. I've got my Christian sunglasses on. The friends are tradition, the left is religion. Got my Christian sunglasses on. We feel so warm and safe down in this pew, knowing Jesus loves me so. Please don't tell me there's a dying world. Lord, I'm sure he ain't gonna go. No. I got my Christian sunglasses on. I've got my Christian sunglasses on. The frames are tradition, the lens is religion. Got my Christian sunglasses on. We've done our own thing for some glory, Lord. Ours is the only way that's right. It's our tradition, and their name we won't change. We won't give up without a fight. Got my Christian sunglasses on. I've got my Christian sunglasses on. The frames are tradition, the left is religion. Got my Christian sunglasses on. You know, you got to have your glasses. It's kind of like going out on a cold day without your coat on and having your glasses. You just don't see things the way you're supposed to be seeing without your glasses. You don't got to get your Christian sunglasses, yeah.
Yeah, so there were a couple of songs that really were, you know, deeply moving for me in my songwriting journey. But, you know, songwriting for me eventually became kind of a life flow, because an artist or a songwriter can't really write well unless he writes what's inside. And so I learned that early on, and as a result, I began to write a bunch of songs and then collaborate with a friend of mine to write songs. And I have accumulated all these songs over the years. But tonight, I'm going to use the songs, specific songs of mine, that have to do with restoration. And I would like to say first that it's a high honor to be in this church and to be among this people. How many are visiting this place tonight that you've never come here before? It's your first time? Well, awesome. Well, that's great. That's great. Welcome. My name is Craig Perkins, and I'm internationally unknown. Internationally unknown. And I'm from the Midwest in Missouri, not to be confused with Missouri. Yeah, Missouri. Make sure you put the accent on Missouri, not misery. And so I'm from the cornfields, and I'm really out there in the middle of nowhere. And I have two sons, and my wife and I just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
We survived! We did survive!
Yeah, wait a minute, that song's already been written. That's right, we survived. And it's great to be here. I have a great story to tell you about how I have experienced personal restoration in my life. And it began when, about 20 years ago, I found my mother, whom I'd been estranged from for many, many years. As a very young child, I was raised in an orphanage. And in the orphanage, it was a big thing to be proud of being an orphan. You know, because, you know, the whole world's left you, and you're all alone, and you're sad, and you're depressed, but you're proud about it. But it was something about the orphanage that had a false sense of pride. And all the time I was in the orphanage, everybody else acted like they were proud to be an orphan. They were proud to wear orphanage clothes that were out of date and penny loafers that had defects in them because nobody wanted to, the stores didn't want them. And there was this pride that went around. But all the time during the orphanage years, I was very, very angry about what had happened to me. And my mother and father were violent fighters and alcoholics. And my sisters and I underwent a series of abuses. And I had inside of me a great deal of anger, as would be expected. And I had questions about why these things would have happened to me, and if there was a higher power, why this higher power would allow these things to happen to me. And the anger went with me all the way through my high school years. And the way I dealt with my anger was I played sports. And I excelled at playing sports and became one of the best athletes in the areas of basketball and baseball in my area. And I wanted to be known for something that would give me value. Because inside, I felt like I had no value. When you have been hurt and kicked aside, something in you is deeply empty. And so often we look for things to fill that gap, don't we? And I looked for it in sports. So I excelled. I did all of the hard stuff. And I played against all the bullies. And I was a little guy, but I was mean and scrappy. But all during the time I would play baseball, for instance, I would go on the field. And something would always cause my eyes to look over to the stands. I wonder what it would be like to see my dad up in the stands. He was never there. So years went on. And years went on, and the anger grew, but it became more pressed down. You know, when you get older, you find more complex ways of pushing the anger down so nobody really sees it. But it really does seep out. And I found my mother after many, many years, and it was shortly after I had become a Christian that I had prayed a prayer to the Lord and said, Lord, at that time I was led in a prayer and I said, Jesus, I know I have a lot of anger and bitterness. Would you help me? And I said an honest prayer and I asked the Lord if he would come into my heart and be my Savior. Some other Christians led me through the prayer and I didn't know a lot of things about church or religion. But when I prayed the prayer, something unusual began to happen to me. Something very unusual. And that thing that was unusual that happened to me was the Lord began to ask me questions. And I didn't understand the questions he was asking me. But one of the questions he would ask me every once in a while was, what about your mother? And I was perplexed for the longest time about, so what about her? She was a drunken barmaid, a foul-mouthed lady, mean-spirited, and she ran out on us and left us alone in a house, and we never saw her again. So what about her? And the Lord would ask me again a week later, what about your mother? And it's interesting, I found out, that when the Lord asks you questions, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. When he's asking you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. That he is trying to get you to answer the question. And to look into a place inside of you that he's trying to get you to look. And so, after a series of these questions, I became really irritated at the Lord. And at this time, I was a young Christian. I still had a very foul mouth. I cussed all the time. And didn't really know how to be a good Christian. Didn't know how to do all the Christian things. And I would begin coming to a little chapel that was very similar to a little room like this. And I brought a Bible with me, and I said, okay, if I'm a Christian, I want the Lord to begin to teach me about the Bible. And I didn't know what church to go to or what to do, so I just began to go to a chapel all by myself. It was open every certain hours, and I would go in the evenings, and I'd put my Bible out, and I'd begin to read. And then I got to a scripture in Matthew that said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, I will not forgive you your trespasses. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. Very interesting. So I thought about the question, what about your mother? I knew right away that I had a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness towards my mom. But I didn't know what to do with it because I didn't know where my mom was, dead or alive, where on this whole earth, where would my mother be? So I didn't know what to do with it. So I began to sit there and I read further. And the part about communion, when you come to communion, if you have aught against your brother, go. These were hurting me. These were doing something inside of me. These were bothering me, these scriptures. And so I began to express my heart to the Lord, probably for the first time in my life. But when I expressed my heart to the Lord in conversations with Him, I would be mean and angry. And I would say, Lord, and I would grab the chair and I'd clench it and I'd say, Jesus, how could you let this happen to me? And I would recount the abuses of my childhood. Because when you've been wrong and abused, you can play them back like a film strip, can't you? And you relive it and that thing rose up in you again, if you allow it. And I remembered the times of abuse and abandonment, and I would get so angry. And there were times when I got so angry that I cursed right at God. I cursed right in the face of God and shook my fist. I was a Christian. You'd say, well, how could you be a Christian? I was a Christian. I was honest and earnest when I said that prayer, but did you know that what had not changed was I had not fully changed inside. My spirit had become reborn. But if you're bald when you get saved, you're going to be bald after you were saved. Unless the Lord gives you a recreated miracle. Or unless you can afford to have your hair put back in your head. So when you come to the Lord, your spirit is recreated and regenerated. You know, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Well, I still had the memories that were tormenting me. And I still had the anger for those who had abused me. And the Lord was dealing with me ever so severely about this. And the conversations were very angry at first. And then I began to soften up a little bit. And I began to think, well, maybe if my mother became a Christian, we could get back together and maybe some of these things. So I was beginning to think of the possibilities. But you know, the whole time the Lord was the one who was opening the doorway of my heart. And I kept coming to this chapel over and over again for weeks, months. So this just wasn't a one-time thing. This is something that I was doing regularly. And I encourage you, if you have something that is painful and something that angers you, don't turn away from it. Confront it. Because then the doorway of the Lord's hand is open to you that thing can be resolved. And so I began to soften, And I was walking back and forth one day in this chapel, and all of a sudden, the Lord asked me the question again, what about your mother? And then I didn't say anything at that point, and I sat down on the pew, and I thought, all of a sudden, as I thought on this, the Lord gave me what seemed to be, I don't know if it was a vision, all I know is, I saw in my mind's eye the face of my mother as she would look today, on that day. And this would have been 20 years after I had been separated from my mother. So, of course, she had aged. And I saw a picture of my mother's face. Her face was all wrinkled and white, and her eyes were sagging, and she was sad, and she had scars on her face, and her hair was all bleached and white. And when I saw that picture of my mother's face, whether it was in my mind's eye or however it happened, I saw the face of my mother. And when I saw that face, something inside of me began to have sorrow. Sorrow for my mom. Did you know that the Lord can turn you from an accuser to an intercessor? Amen. He has the power to turn you from one who points the finger to one who extends the arms. Amen. And so I had been going through this anger with the Lord about this issue, and about this forgiveness issue. And in the seeing of my mother's face, I began to feel for the first time what it was like to have sorrow and pity for her. And then a few days passed, and I would come to that same place again. And the Lord just began to take my heart like a little piece of clay, and He began to put a little pressure on it. And suddenly I began to say prayers, begin to fashion prayers for my mother. Lord, if You will help me, I will go to my mother and I will seek forgiveness. If You'll help me, I'll do this. If You'll help me. And the Lord, through the process of my being before Him, being honest with my anger, there's something about being honest that the Lord really likes. If you can be honest, you can open a doorway. Honesty is a doorway. Dishonesty closes the doorway. But when you're honest before the Lord, He has an entrance place to come through and do a significant work inside of your heart. And so He began to soften me and soften me, and my prayers turned from this, she or they did this, or she did this, to this. From accusing to beginning to pray for. You see the difference? So, finally, I laid down on the floor one night, and something inside of me, as I was saying one of these little prayers for my mom, something inside of me snapped like this big oak beam. It was almost like I could hear it. And I began to cry. For the first time, I started to cry. I never cried when I was little. I never cried when I was a teenager. I never cried because I was too strong. I was too strong. And that was my problem. I was too strong. Because you can go to your grave and be strong. And your heart will be just as dark as the midnight. And I began to weep uncontrollably, and I began to gush forth with all of these things. And God, I found out God was changing me. He was doing something. He was taking the insides of this muck, and He was rearranging and shifting things around, and it was very, very, very painful. But as I was weeping there, I knew that when I arose from that weeping time, that I had to go to my mom. Did you know we want to send missionaries to Haiti, British Columbia, the far places in the East, but we don't want to go to our own families and seek forgiveness and healing? Because we say, no, they won't understand me. They don't understand this Christian thing. They don't understand my language. It's too hard. It's too painful. But the Lord had promised me at that time when I was on my face and broken and I let my guard down, He promised me inside my heart like a little covenant that He etched with a little chisel upon my heart. He said, if you will go, I will mend. If you will go, I will mend. So He etched it in my heart, and so I knew I had to do it. So my next question over those next few weeks was, where is Mom? How am I going to go? It's, Lord, You have to do this. It's impossible for me to find her. Well, through a miraculous series of events, God brought my mother back into my life. It had to be completely miraculous. 20 years, people. No idea where my mom was. She didn't know where I was. But it would be too bizarre to tell you how it happened. But I found my mother. And I went to my mother, to the very address where my mother lived. I was scared, I was apprehensive, but something had been chiseled into my heart. God had put a love in there for my mama that I had lived without all of my life. And it could only be done by God Himself. And I went to the door, and my mom came to the door, and when I saw her face, I took two steps back. Because the face that I saw was the very face that I saw in that dream, in that vision. Her face was exactly the same. And I remember going in and embracing her. And we sort of quivered a minute. My mom, you know, she didn't know what to think. Why is my son, you know, what does he want? Why, you know, what? You know, she had all of the guilt and the shame that a mama would have who deserted her four children. And lived with it for 20 years. Think of it, moms. So she lived with her own hell and her own torment, her own guilt all those years. I'd written a song during the time before I had found my mother that expressed my yearning to once again be united with my mom. Now maybe you have a good relationship with your mom here tonight. That is fantastic. But maybe you don't. This is a song that I wrote when I was going through healing.
And you know, when we're little, we say mommy. You know, innocent little kids, we say mommy. When we get a little bit older, we say mom. When we get even older and more dignified, we say mother. See? But inside, when you were without a mama, there's still that little longing inside that longs for that touch of mama, that embrace of mama, to look in mama's face, to feel the kiss of mama. And I, even though I was a grown man, I still had a longing that God wanted to see healed. And when I saw my mother, that was exactly how she looked in my dream. And I had written this song before I had gone to see my mom, and it just simply says, when I say mommy. When I say mommy, a flurry of emotions flood my eyes. I only knew you from a distance, and your absence took its toll. But how I dreamed that we'd grow close before years could make us whole. When I say, mommy, a flurry of emotions flood my eyes, and I find it hard to comprehend what a mother's love could be. But I'm hopeful that discovery, and that my eyes could see the love of mommy. So to all you sons and daughters, how fortunate and blessed to have someone like mommy that can offer peace and rest. Please don't let your eyes be blinded to the blessing that's before you. Remember there are others, oh, so many others. Remember there are others who long to have a mommy too. When you say, mommy, does a flurry of emotions flood your eyes? Is there pain or is there honor? Their answer's only you can give. Please reach out your arms to her and let a healing now begin. As you say, mommy. So to all your sons and daughters, how fortunate and blessed to have someone like mama that can offer peace and rest. Please don't let your eyes be blinded to the blessing that's before you. Remember there are others, oh, so many others. Remember there are others, and I was one of those others who longed to have a mommy too. Won't you say, mommy? So I went to see my mom, and then when we sat down to talk, we of course talked about all of this stuff, and caught up on all the history. And I kept saying, I'm so glad to see you, Mom. The Lord has done something inside my heart I cannot explain. And she did not know the Lord, she did not understand, and her eyes just were just filled with tears, and they would just run out, and she'd just be wiping her tears, and I'd say, Mom, it's okay. I do not need you to give me an explanation. I do not need to get you to give me reasons. I do not need you to give me an apology. Because God has etch-a-sketched the pain from off of this heart. And she did not understand. And I did not understand how to tell her how God had done this. And through the next series of years, we had the most glorious times together. I learned things about my family I had never known. I learned things about my mom's journey that were just completely heartbreaking to me. And God had restored the son to the mama. God's restoration brought my mama back to me. But it began with my willingness to break my heart. And let me encourage you tonight, if you have a heavy heart towards someone in your family that you need to have restoration with, remember, you have to break your heart open before the Lord. And if you will break it, like, just break it open like a little jar, the Lord will come into that place. That's His promise. He said He will restore those who are of a broken and contrite heart. Those who are of a contrite heart, He will not despise. And so it's in the place of brokenness. See, we look at brokenness as weakness, but God looks at it as the beginning of strength. And my mother and I had glorious years, and she'd been developing emphysema for a number of years. And eventually she was confined to a ventilator, and I was able to follow her all the way through her sickness. Would pray for her. God did not heal her body, but it didn't change the fact that I was to be a good son. Mm-hmm. And to be there for my mom in her closing hours. And I remember being in the hospital room on the day my mother died. And I heard her whisper something to me, and I could not understand it, so I moved closer. And of course, when you're on a ventilator, you have to time your words with the air and the flow and the intake of air. And my mother said three things, and I leaned down closer, and I heard these words. Son, I'm proud. And when I heard the words, God gave me the reward. There was nothing in the world like hearing my mom say, I'm proud. She was proud of me. That's what she says, I'm proud. And then later that day, my mother passed away peacefully. And God had restored and done everything that He had told me He would do in that empty chapel. When I was going through the healing, when I was cursing the Lord, when I was shaking my fist at Him. But you know what? God understands your language. When you're angry, God understands your anger. We as religious people think, well, you can't talk like that to God. That's blasphemy. No, 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 you don't understand. It was for those broken people that He died. That He did His very greatest work. That He did His most concentrated effort was to minister to the downtrodden and those who were helpless, who were broken and completely shattered and alone in this world without God. And the Lord gloriously restored that relationship with my mother, and I'm so proud that I was privileged to work with my mother in those closing years. And she did, incidentally, I didn't mention that she did become a Christian. And I sang the very song, When I Say Mommy, with my very mother in the audience. And of course, we had been restored, but this was a song that I sang to her because I wanted her to see that, you know, that I had written this song for her and for us, and that now God had restored us, and everything was just glorious. And then we move on to my father. My father is still a work in progress. He's 72 years old, and I've been to see him in Texas many times. But my father was like this invisible person in my life. Even as a young child, when he was home, I never really knew who he was. And I was always afraid of him. And as a young man, I was always longing to be held by him, but I was always afraid of him because he was a very angry man and a very violent man. So when my father left home and I lost track with him, I did not ever expect to see him again. And of course, once the Lord did the work with my mother, I had faith for my father. And God had given me that little seed that I can do this, son. So I've been in a process with my father, who is an atheist. He has no interest in God at all. And I remember sitting in his trailer one day. This happened a couple of years ago. He was watching TV. And we were watching, he was flipping through looking for a ball game, and he stopped on this channel that was a Christian channel. And it was some real fiery preacher who was jumping up on tables and up on chairs, and he had a hanky, and he was screaming, and you know, and it was just wild and crazy. And my dad looked at that a minute, and he looked over at me kind of with this funny look, and he kind of went, kind of like, is that what Christianity, is that what you're trying to tell me about the Lord? Is this what you're talking about? And I said, yeah, I turned it on. I said, Dad, no. You don't understand. That's just a man's methodology. I said, but Christianity is a relationship with God, between you and God. That's just the way some men express their excitement. They're just happy and going crazy. You know, but my dad's like, okay, all right. And so I had written a song for my dad. And this song is probably one of the most moving songs, or it was one of the most healing songs for me. And, you know, you can relate to the song that came out recently called, in the last few years, Butterfly Kisses. Everybody know that song? Everybody knows Butterfly Kisses. Butterfly kisses after bedtime prayers. You know, we watch the video and watch that guy sing the song. We all get choked up. We just, my little baby. Oh, I want to, you know, oh, my little baby's growing now, but she still blows me butterfly kisses. You know, the whole thing was, what it touched in us was the fact that all of us as nurturers, as parents, long to have that closeness with our children, to see them grow and to see them succeed and to grow up in health and vitality and have that interaction with our children. There's legacy inside that song. And that's why it touches us so much. I had written my own song, and this is my song. That's like, thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Okay.
That's okay, I'm still good, right? Okay, there you go.
I hope that's good water.
So this is my Butterfly Kisses song. This is called Daddy Ga. This is called Hold Me Daddy. And this song has three elements inside of it. Number one, I did have that longing, just like with my mom. I had that longing to know the embrace of my father. Something about feeling the arms of my own daddy around me. Just even as a grown man, there was something that longed. I can't explain the longing. I think it's something that God made in you. He made that longing in us to have the embrace of mama and the embrace of father. That was after his pattern. And when you don't have it, there's a longing. So I had this longing to be held by my earthly father. And then I had the experience of actually being held by feeling the arms of the Lord around me. During the time I was being healed with my mom, I literally sometimes felt the warmth of this enveloping arm, these enveloping arms. I literally felt them around me. And so I longed to feel the arms of my father, my God, my father. And then the song also holds under the third element of honoring. Those of you who have had great fathers, you have a sense of honoring inside of you, a sense of legacy, a sense of gladness that you had that great relationship with your father. So it honors fathers who were good fathers. I'm trying to be a good father now. So that's the song, Hold Me Daddy. It goes like this. Time passed so quickly, and now I'm all grown. But my sole desire, son, is to be daddy's own. Though the problems are bigger. When I was small, little hands to reach up, but daddy's so tall. Hold me, daddy, hold me so tight. I need to be wrapped in your presence tonight. Your arms are my shelter, your love my refuge. Daddy, hold me so tight. Hold me so tight. Daddy, hold me, just hold me so tight. You approved of my first little steps. Each victory I won, though happy you went. These holy moments, your little boy and girl's delight, is when Father holds them so tight. Tonight, your arms are my shelter, your love my refuge. Daddy, hold me so tight. Hold me so tight. Daddy, hold me, just hold me so tight. My priest patriarch, the one I call Papa, with ever-loving heart. These holy moments, your little boy and girl's delight, is when your father holds them so tight. Shelter, your love my refuge. Daddy, hold me so tight where I hurt. Hold me so tight where it hurts. Daddy, hold me, just hold me so tight. Refuge, Daddy, hold me so tight. Hold me so tight. Daddy, hold me, just hold me so tight. Yes, I will hold you. Yes, I will hold you. If you open up the door, I will hold you. I can mend if you will bend. Will bring the
break down. Just hold me so tight.
last visit with my father came as such a great joy to me because I had made three. And the first two were very stiff and starchy. But I will never forget the first visit where I went. The Lord spoke to me clearly, it's time to go. Remember I said the Lord spoke in my heart and said, it's time to go. So I went. I've saved the money, bought the plane ticket, made the hotel reservation, got on the plane and I went. And I remember going to the airport and seeing my father. I knew who it was right away. You understand, it was 30 years since I'd seen my father. Okay. Aaron was way across the airport. You know what I thought about? And the father came out to the hillside to greet the son. Yes. The father came out to meet the prodigal son, fell on his neck and kissed him. But the roles were reversed.
Amen.
I was the son and that was the father. Wasn't that cool?
Amen.
And so I just kind of picked up my step and I sort of ran across the airport. And my father was coming towards me, and I guess he sort of picked up that it was me. And all of a sudden, I grabbed my dad after all of those years. But you know what? I didn't stop in front of my dad and say, Dad, why did you do this to me? I'm mad. I'm angry. Let all that stuff come out. No, because you know what? God had already mended it.
Amen.
And did you know to this very day, I can think back to all of the memories. I can play them like a slideshow. The abuse, the trauma, the tragedy. Death, where is your sting?
Amen.
Is what I say to those memories. Because God has given me the ability to remember without the pain. Is that cool?
That's cool.
I can't explain it except it took that I had to open my heart up. It's the first place, people. Very simple concept. Your children's hearts are open all the time. Jesus said, if you become as a little child, if you become as a little child, just open up, crack it open a little bit, and the Lord will flood into that crack. And then he crack it open a little bit, the Lord will flood into that crack. A little bit more, the Lord will drench you. And I held my dad, and you know how it is, men, when you hug other men. You feel a little funny, but my dad kind of wanted to pull away, you know, okay, it's long enough now. I wouldn't let him go. I held on to him. It was like I was making him suffer with the love of God. Suffer, Dad, suffer. Feel it. Here you go. Take the more.
Amen.
And so in that embrace, I just couldn't, the arms of my daddy were now around me. So I wrote the song, Hold Me Daddy. And then, sure enough, I found my dad. So I wrote the song before I found my dad, see? Found my dad, put his arms around me. We spent some glorious days together. And on the third visit, we had one of the best breakthroughs because my father finally broke down his prideful defense. See, my father was always of the opinion that it was my mom's fault. Your mother. And he never would take any responsibility. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. My responsibility was to be the good son.
Amen.
Not that he was a good father. I'm the good son. So I went to see him. And he finally broke down and he began to tear. He said, I don't understand. That's all he said. I don't understand. And I know what he was saying. He doesn't understand why I can love him. That's what he said. He doesn't understand why I would seek him out. He doesn't understand why I would take the time to come spend time with him and take him and wine him and dine him and sit with him and fish with him and sit by him. And he's just a hard-hearted man. He doesn't understand. And when I held him on this last third time, he began to break in my arms. And I looked him in the face this close. I was this close to his dad. I love you. I love you. He couldn't say it. But it wasn't important that he could say it. I said it from a son's heart and from God's heart because God felt it. God let the feeling of that love go into his heart. And so God has restored my relationships with both my parents. My mother being passed away, my father is quite ill.
But I believe that the Lord can restore to the uttermost. He is the restorer of the broken breach, the mender of paths to walk in. The Lord can mend the path no matter how long it is. And now, no matter how old and ancient it is, the Lord can mend. And I encourage you tonight, seek the restoration in the living ears. For if you hold the anger and the unforgiveness when they die, you're still in the prison.
Yes.
Long after they're gone. And so I say to you tonight, seek forgiveness and restoration in the living ears. Because the restoration that you seek will be testaments to the generations that are yet to come. That you can change your family tree, spiritual family tree, by the decisions that you make. And the Lord gave me a rather sober song to sing to people who are having a real struggle with giving this area to the Lord, this anger and this bitterness. And when I just mentioned about do it in the living years, there's a song by Mike and the Mechanics that says, every generation blames the one before. All of their frustrations come knocking at your door. Let's not be a generation that blames another generation. Let's be the generation of healing. How about it?
Amen.
The Lord will help us. And I wrote a song about... It's rather sober, and the Lord really gave it the song to me. And the song has in it a bit of self-searching. The song is called, I Have Numbered Your Days. And did you know that God has given you a number of days on the earth? Only He knows the number of your days. And often we think that life is just going to kind of go on, and these issues aren't important, and maybe someday, Lord... Maybe on that day, or over there on that future day, somewhere out there, you're going to do this and change this. No. It's today. For you only have a certain number of days. And you do not know the number of those days. And this song was a bit serious, but it was a song that made me think very hard about how I'm spending my days and what I'm doing to see restoration come into the areas that I can affect. And I'd like to play that for you. I've numbered your days. Would you please just close your eyes and not watch me on this one. Just listen to this from the Lord singing the song. I have numbered your days, says the Lord. I have measured them out in my hand. In the book of your life, with your future and plans, these I hold in my hand. So what will He do with my words? Will you toss them aside or obey? Will your destiny stand or fall my hand? Stolen by what men would say. Don't let your life turn to ashes because of not doing what He says. Because of not knowing His ways, let me build
things, for I have numbered your days. I've numbered your days, says the Lord. I've measured them out in my hand, in the book of your life, with your future and plans. These I hold in my hand. So what will you do with my words? Will you toss them aside or obey? Will your destiny stand or fall from my hand? Stolen by what men would say, or the hardness of heart that gets in the way? Don't let your life turn to ashes because of not knowing your way. For I am the God who built destinies, and I change the seasons of men. Let me build, and you, eternal things. I have numbered your days. Don't let your life turn to ashes because of not knowing my way. Because of not obeying my ways, won't you build in your heart eternal things by forgiving, by releasing, by forgiving and releasing, by forgiving and releasing by His grace. Have you heard the fable? God helps the ones who will help themselves.
Did you know that's not even in the Bible?
Of course not.
That's from Aesop's Fables. The gods will help those who help themselves. The only thing you really have to do is open the heart. God will get the job done. That's your part. But sometimes you have to be like that fallow ground that allows the moisture to sink into you. Fallow is hard and crusty, dry and parched. It needs the moisture to be able to be fruitful again. It needs the moisture to be able to grow things again. It needs the moisture to be supple and soft once again. And the Lord desires in this place tonight to pour some oil into those areas that are fallow. And the Lord just wants you to receive for a couple of minutes. Just receive some of that oil. Have you heard the fable? God helps the ones who will help themselves. But keeping rules won't change your life, because that can only come from knowing Him. But you must learn to receive, receive,
Some flows here. Just relax. Let the Lord touch you and tune into what the Lord might be trying to say to you. You know, the Lord is always speaking to the earth, and He's always saying things into the heart of man. And tonight is that night when the Lord is whispering and speaking and impressing and pushing things into your heart. And the Lord is just causing us to spend a few moments here. This is not medication. This is meditation. In His presence, this is muttering to yourself. This is talking, self-talk before the Lord. This is letting Him speak into your heart. This is saying simple prayers to Him. This is opening up that place in your heart. That's what this is. A place of marination. A place of His resident presence. Coming, He has set up a throne in this place. He has set up a resting place in this very place. And He knows every single life that has come through the door of this place. He knows the path. He knows the future. He knows the present. He knows the difficulty. He knows the struggle. He knows the strain. He knows the blockage. He knows the divine purpose involved. And the Lord is very smart. And the Lord is very, very loving. And the Lord is very, very close tonight. Let Him be closer than you've ever known before. For Jesus can bind your wounds. How He longs to touch you. He's here among you. Let Jesus bind.
in your wounds. He'll heal the broken-hearted. He feels the broken heart. Just let Jesus by your wounds. Jesus will bind your wounds. How he longs to touch you. He's here above you. Let Jesus bind your wounds. He feels the brokenhearted. He'll heal the brokenhearted. Won't you let Jesus bind your wounds? He did not come to condemn, but to give life. Come, receive life. He will give hope for despair. Jesus can bind your wounds. Heal the broken heart. Heals the broken heart. Let Jesus bind your wounds. Heal the broken heart. He feels the broken heart. Won't you let Jesus bind your wounds? He did not come to condemn, but to give life. Come, receive life. He will give hope for despair and comfort for all those who mourn. So let Jesus bind your wounds. He'll heal the broken-hearted, the broken-hearted. Won't you let Jesus bind your wounds?
Now the Lord wants to charge many of you in this place to begin to go into the places that are hard, relationships that have been strained, to make phone calls that need to be made, to write letters that need to be penned, to offer words that need to be said, to cry tears that have needed to be shed. The Lord would say to the hearts of all those within the sound of my voice, seek the restoration that only I can give, for you are the messenger of the restoration of the Lord. Let your words come forth. Bind up fear, for I will come and be so very, very near. The Lord would say unto every heart, seek the healing from those that hurt, for the Lord will mend and dress the knives that were cut. And the Lord says to every heart, go to the mama and the daddy. Go to the grandma and the grandpa. Go to the niece and the nephew. And to the daughter and to the son. And as far away as the grandson and the granddaughter, go. For I will be within your steps. For when you step, I will step. And when you speak, I will speak. For know, as you're within the sound of my voice tonight, that there has been a transfusion of my love into your hearts that you've not known before. And the warmth and the syrup that you feel tonight is that which I'm pouring from my heart to yours. For you cannot speak words that they will hear unless they are words that I give. You cannot do deeds that you do that will affect their heart
unless they be the deeds that I tell you to do. You cannot go the distance unless you allow me to pour into you the fuel for the walk, the oil for the lamp that must not be extinguished. You cannot walk the distance without my presence. So seek me, says the Lord, while I may be found. For the days draw short, and no man knows the number of his days. For see, the hourglass of the love in my heart is tripping through yours tonight. Do not take another moment and seek forgiveness in the living years. For the Lord your God will allow you and will empower you to gather your family, to give them the message, to tell them that Jesus and their time has come. Gather the family, give them a message, tell them of Jesus, their time has come. For his visitation has come upon them. This is the answer to prayers. For this is the season, this is the hour, this can be the moment for them. For yours is the voice they've been longing to hear. Much is depending on you. For this is the season, this is the hour, this is the moment for them. For yours is the voice they've been longing to hear. Much is depending on you. So gather the family, give them a message, tell them of Jesus, their time has come. His visitation has come among you. This is the answer to prayers. For this is the season, this is the hour, this is the moment for them. For yours are the words they've been longing to hear. Much is depending on you. Much is depending on you. Yeah. Much is depending on you. Much is depending on you this night. There were times in my life when I just wrote songs, like I've been playing for you tonight. But then I came to a time in my songwriting journey with the Lord where I would be at the keyboard and all of a sudden a phrase would come to me. And I realized it wasn't just a song that I was supposed to write, it was a song I was supposed to sing for myself. And then I would go before people, like tonight. Many of you I don't even know, I just am acquainted with some of you, but I don't know many of you. And I would sit before people, and all of a sudden, phrases and impressions would come to me using the tool of music to play those melodies, to play those words. And in the scriptures, in the Bible, we call them spiritual songs. They're not fortune-telling. Amen. They're spiritual songs. Spiritual, ode
pneumatica. Ode meaning prose, poem, a writing. Pneuma meaning spirit or God breathed. Spiritual meaning something that has never been created before, being created right now. Never before created, never before composed. A spiritual song. Ode pneumatica. A spiritual song. And I had a sense that the Lord wants me to sing a couple of spiritual songs tonight. And quite frankly, in my brain, I have nothing in my brain at the moment. All I have is an impression. And oftentimes when you're walking with the Lord, He will give you an impression. Whether it's to share a scripture, call someone on the phone, send an email, have someone over your house, share with them something the Lord's done in your life. This is an impression that the Lord gives me in the spirit dimension, in the Holy Spirit that lives in all of us. The Holy Spirit will lead you and will guide you in all truth. So if we're moving with the Holy Spirit, nothing but truth will come forth. Right?
Amen.
Okay. So, the Holy Spirit is in me, the Holy Spirit's in you, and maybe you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. That doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit can still sing a song through me to you, because you are a spirit being, you live in a body, and you have a soul. But your spirit is eternal, and it's that part of you that will never die. And if you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you still have a spirit. And God is longing to touch your spirit tonight. And so, I believe that the Holy Spirit would have songs that you would like to sing. One that's over 60 years of age, stand up in this place right now. Just stand up where you're at. If you're over 60. Sometimes when we go through seasons of age, we think the Lord, we sort of camp out. We sort of maybe pitch a tent and sort of get into our ways. But we sometimes forget that the Lord is not finished with us. And sometimes I'm 50 now and I think, gosh, well, I'm halfway through my life. And the Lord says, I am not finished with you. And this is not a song I wrote, but it's a spiritual song that came forth in another meeting that I use at times when I feel that the Lord wants to use it. So this is not spontaneous. There may be spontaneous elements, but it was a partially written spiritual song at another meeting. But I'm going to sing this into your spirit. If you're over 60 years old, the Lord wants you to know.
He is not finished with you. The Lord is not finished with you. For the dream He gave that may have been in the younger years, the Lord is not finished with you. The Lord is not finished with you. Doesn't want you to relax. He wants you to light a new fire and to fulfill His desires and to go where He wants you to go and do the task. So the Lord says He's not finished with you. The Lord is not finished with you. He is not done. He is not done. For the Lord is not finished with you. Don't say it's too late for me. I've let too many opportunities go by. For the Lord can redeem and can multiply. And the Lord can restore what the worm and the cankerworm have eaten. So don't say that it's too late for me. For the Lord is finished with me. For the vision that He gave you, for the dream that He gave you, for the task that He gave you, diminished. The Lord wants you to resurrect and dust the dust off of it. The Lord is not finished with your dream and your vision. The Lord is not finished with you. He is not done. Oh, he is not done. For the Lord is not finished with you. For the dream and the vision, it will surely come to pass. And though it seems to have tarried, it will surely come to pass. For the Lord is not a man that he should lie. So what he said, he will surely do. So trust him now, and let your heart be revived, cause it's not too late for you. It is not too late for you. It is not too late to do what he says. So do what the Lord wants you to, and be strengthened, and be strengthened, and be strengthened for the work at hand.
Good word. It's a good word for all of those. All of those that it applies to. Thank you, Lord. Are there any people in this room that are specifically involved in worship or music ministry? If you would you stand? If you're involved in any type of worship ministry?
Just coming in. Rick, the kids.
Oh. Okay. Well, I know that the Lord has already sent some things to them. Is there anybody else that's visiting tonight that's been a part of a worship ministry, or will be, or is planning on it, or think they may, or is retired for a while? There's nobody like that? Okay. Are there any pastors? Okay, I'm going to come back to the song. Are there any pastors that are visiting tonight? No pastors in this place that are serving as pastors?
Some that are serving. Where's Carrie? Okay, back there. Judy, stand up. He does some of the homework.
Okay, so this is the only pastor we have?
The one in the back?
The one in the back?
Yeah.
I can't see anything back there. This lady here, any other pastors?
Pastor Carlos, I met him tonight.
Pastor Carlos.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, because Bobby and I had a good time with him when he walked in. So, come on, young man. Give a chance.
Okay, so we have two pastors here, right?
That's what I understand.
Okay. Then this song is a song of encouragement for pastors. How about apostles, prophet, evangelists, and teachers? I won't go that far. This is just a song of encouragement. It's not a spiritual song, but there may be spiritual elements in it. And are we doing okay on time? Okay. All right. This is a song to sing into your spirit. And for those, you know, sometimes when the Lord sings a song, you have to look at it like a ricocheting bullet. If it has application to you, let it go into your own heart, okay? So some of the things that are sung may be, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to add is, you know, there are many times that in my experience that the Lord was really singing to someone like Bobby, but I was taking the overflow. And I want you to know that sometimes you'll know that it's also for you, But the enemy loves to lie. And he likes to just, you know, say, oh, well, no, that was just for Bobby. But if you receive some of what was going on and going into Bobby, don't be afraid to receive it and rejoice
Amen.
In it.
Amen.
Take it home with you.
It's a good word.
That's true. Okay, so this is a song of encouragement to wherever it's going to go.
Sometimes when you come before the Lord, you wrestle in the Spirit with the Lord. For you want a view of what He has for you. But you won't give up until He answers you. Sometimes I pray until You answer, Lord. And I must praise Your name until You come. I will bless You, Lord, until You bless me, Lord. And the vapors of my praise cause Your blessing to flow. Cause I won't let You go until You bless me. I won't let You go until You bless me. I won't let You go until You bless me. Wrestle in the Spirit with the Lord. It's because I want a view of what He has for me. And I'm not going to give up till You answer, Lord. And I will pray until You answer, Lord. Your name until You come. I will bless You, Lord, until You bless me, Lord. Let the vapors of my praise cause Your blessing to flow. I will let You go until You bless me. A wrestling in the Spirit. Sometimes there's a wrestling, and sometimes there's a wrestling again. And sometimes there are questions that you cannot begin to ask, and questions that you cannot begin to answer. So like Jacob wrestled, you wrestled through the nighttime of despair and uncertainty. And sometimes you wrestle when you do not know which step to take, which way to go, which fork to take, which side to follow. Sometimes you wrestle just like Jacob did. You wrestle for a blessing. Entirely yours. And you wrestle, you roll with the angel. You wrestle into the wee hours of the morning. And suddenly at daybreak, you're wounded in your thigh. You're wounded in your thigh. But you wrestle with the angel. And the Lord is revealing. The Lord is showing but you must not cease to wrestle with me in prayer. Spread your face like flint, fix your eyes on me, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Release heaven's resources for you. Sometimes when you come before the Lord, wrestle in the Spirit with the Lord, 'cause we want of you what you have for us. We're not gonna let go until you answer, Lord. We will pray until you answer, Lord. And we will praise your name until you come. We will bless you, Lord, until you bless us, Lord. Let the vapor of our praise cause your blessing to flow. We won't let you go.
Pastor and I picked her up after.
Thank you, Lord. Lord.
For thou, O Lord,
come on, let's just sing.
Art high above all the earth. The earth, thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Above all the earth, thou art exalted far above all gods. Be exalted.
Is that a good key for you? Too high? What?
I don't know that key.
You don't know it? Okay. All right. I just had this craving to hear Oscar's voice again.
Yeah.
Okay, he doesn't know. All right. Let's just sing the chorus one more time.
We exalt thee.
Just allow me one more song to sing over you. You may be seated. This is one of the most special songs that I think I've ever written in my whole repertoire, because it began as such an intimate time of the Lord. You know, us men, we're not always good with grasping the intimate things. But sometimes we're a little bit, you know, a rock breaks over a marble head. But one time in worship, I was in a small little gathering in Kansas. And in this gathering was a group of people who had gathered for a little worship time. And I was writing the song at the time with a friend of mine, and it was not completely finished, but we finished it in the afternoon before the evening meeting. And in this meeting, we happened to have a young man who was competing for the Olympic heats. He was competing in the 100-yard dash competitions to qualify for the Olympic heats. And I'll never forget what happened to this young man in this meeting. He was a Christian young man, and he loved the Lord. When we started playing this song that I'm going to play for you, he started doing the most beautiful dance. Mm. It was like a ballet dance. It wasn't like, you know,
I don't know what you would call it. It was all I could say is it looked like it was just this beautiful ballet. And you got to understand, here was this very physically fit, long, slender, rippling muscles in his legs. And he was just the epitome of just this athlete. Just this, he was cool, man. And all of a sudden, he just began to move out and just dance, all completely unrehearsed, completely unasked. Nobody asked him to do this. He just went into a realm of worship that he'd never done. And the whole experience moved me so deeply. But it was almost like the Lord had rewarded me for penning such a beautiful song. He rewarded me with the ability to see somebody of my own sex who was just undone before the Lord.
Amen.
And there are times I know all of us men just, we just become undone. And if anybody in the place happens to want to do a little thing, you're free. Be free.
Amen.
We're not going to look at you as weird, because if you dance before the Lord, you're not dancing before men.
Yes. Right.
You're not doing anything before men. David didn't dance for Michael. He danced for an audience of one.
Yes.
And if you feel that coming upon you, you just want to move to the Lord. I don't care what you do. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I don't know. But this is a song that I was requested to play tonight. And because it's getting late, I wanted to make sure I got it played for you. It's called Jesus, I Worship You. Mm-hmm. That's simple. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you, face to face, heart to heart, undress my soul, so I can start worshiping. Everything can be
Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Undress my soul so I can start worshiping in spirit and in truth. Teach me how to worship you.
Forth your word, let the wheat come forth and the chaff fall behind and fall to the ground. May your words remain. Lord, may every heart that's here tonight be acutely aware of your love, your tender care for them. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being a minstrel and a singer in the house of the Lord tonight. We give you praise for being the one that we worship, we adore, the one that we bow down before. I thank you, Lord, for the kindness and the mercies that are new every morning. That your mercies and your love is infinite, always extended and never recoiled, always deposited and never soiled. Lord, it's pure and holy. And it's wonderful. We thank you for that pristine love you've shown for us tonight, that you deposited it inside of us. Thank you, Lord. At this time, I